Hey guys, it's Jessica, founder of Noonday Collection. Welcome to the You Matter podcast. On this podcast, I want you to get ready to be inspired to be more courageous and to own your worth. Get ready to feel connected to the artisan community and to the community where you have a place of belonging, the ambassador community. Because the truth is, you matter, and I'm so glad you're here. Welcome to the conversation. Ambassadors, thanks for tuning into this episode of You Matter. Today I have Sarah Sides, our associate designer, here with me. Sarah, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, I know that this is Sarah's first time on the podcast, right?
Yes, first time.
We've had Joanna on. Joanna's our lead designer that many of you know and love. And I'm so excited that you all get to hear from Sarah today. Sarah, I'd love for you to just kind of explain what your job is and what you love about it.
Yeah, so I've been working with Noonday over 2 years now, which is kind of hard to believe. And so I work closely with Joanna. We're the two in-house designers here at Noonday. And basically, we are working hard with the different artisan businesses all over to try to get you a beautiful product. So we're excited about the launch of this fall line and seeing that come together. And one of the most, rewarding things of my job is that this is definitely a challenging design job to have. We are working with so many different materials, so many different cultures. And so one of the challenges and things that I love about my job is continually trying to find new techniques and ideas with the materials that we have at hand, as well as challenging groups to learn new techniques, mm-hmm. to look around at their resources and adopt those. And so that's something I really enjoy.
That's awesome. So it sounds like you already kind of touched upon what we're going to talk about today.
Yes.
And I know that you are incredibly passionate about collaborative design, which is our topic.
Yes.
And I would love for you to share, you know, what that means at Noonday and what that means for artisans, you know, just in the handmade sector in general. And, you know, I know that you've traveled some for mm-hmm. your role, and I know that the concentration was collaborative design. Can you speak to that?
Yeah. So Joanna and I, our goal outside of having babies that kind of throws it off a little bit, Joanna's off on maternity leave right now, uh-huh. and I just got back from maternity leave. But outside of that, our goal is to travel a couple times a year to different artisan groups in different countries. And so that is something that we do. Also, next week we have Needy from CFM. That's a group that we work with in India coming into the office, and she's the lead designer. And so we're going to be doing collaborative design here in office for a week. So I'm really excited about that as we're planning fall next year. Mm-hmm. So that is kind of one way that it looks. I actually took a trip to Africa designing this fall line that just launched fall 16.
Oh, that's so great.
And so when I traveled to Africa, I went to Kenya, and it was there that I got to learn the new casting technique that many of y'all are becoming familiar with mm-hmm. as we launched the Kenya line last season. And then we also got to troubleshoot in process. So when they were creating production, I got to see the production and basically troubleshoot things that, oh, I don't know if that's going to end up turning out well uh-huh. in the end. Also, they were working on new development for this fall, so working on different finishes. So it's sometimes talking about design things, I feel kind of, because it's like a finish is really important. So like, so saying, no, we want this pounded finish versus like the shiny finish. And believe it or not, this does make a difference to the customer.
Yeah.
So even explaining, like, I know you hate doing pounded metal on this part, but if we do that, it really will make the design overall
More elevated,
mm-hmm. more marketable. And so getting to explain those things in person is huge.
Well, it probably helps with that cultural difference for it to be in person.
Right. Yeah. So unfortunately, we don't get to do this for every piece that we design, but I do feel that pieces come out more rich and more detailed when you're able to be there in person and share the vision and then hear from them like, hey, like, actually, I would rather it be constructed this way because we're really good at this technique. Could you change it so that it's easier to do or to mass produce?
Yeah. And it's one of those things where like, it's great that they're able to express that because had they not, you know, it may not be a detail that's incredibly important on the home office end, but for the artisan, it may make a huge difference in how much they're able to produce like efficiently, like how many that they're able to produce a day. Mm-hmm. And so then being able to collaborate there and say, this would be so much easier and efficient, or we're better skilled at this. It can make a huge difference on their end.
Yeah. And something that I've learned from Joanna and really love is that, Joanna has made a point to really remember those things. And so those are things that are always in the back of her mind as we're dreaming up a line and doing this collaborative design process. Like she's thinking on the forefront, like how would this technique affect the artisan? And how could this idea affect the artisan? And so here's ways that we can problem solve for that and create into that. And that's something that as the lead designer, she's really instilled in me. And that's been really fun to do and continue to do. Yeah.
That sounds super empowering too. Like that Joanna and now you are so considerate of that. You know, it's, you're really keeping them at the forefront, the artist and partner that you work with. And the other thing I was thinking about when, you know, you said, unfortunately you're not able to go for every piece and be able to have that in-person collaboration. But I bet that because you've done that with other pieces and you go periodically, I'm sure it instills that trust and that confidence, the artisan, and you know, feeling that confidence in you and what you're asking for, and knowing it, they have context for why you're asking.
Yeah.
They know that there's a reason and that there's respect behind it.
Yeah, and I think definitely from these trips that I have had, I think it kind of creates even more the opening dialogue for them to also voice their concerns in a way that maybe they wouldn't have felt comfortable with before.
Exactly.
So, that's really neat. And so I loved my time in Kenya. I actually got to learn how to make the molds and I was digging in the dirt and got to pour. And so it was just really fun to actually get my hand into the technique, which is something we don't always get to do. So that was very special.
And remind me, this is the cuff, like the gold colored cuff.
Yes.
One of them's hammered. So I know that today actually we're recording this, August 10th, but we actually just released some videos to the ambassadors today that they can share with their customers. And there's a video of the artisans in Kenya making those bracelets.
Yes.
So if you're listening and you're like, oh, I'd love to be able to see it, there's a video. It's on Bloomfire and it's in your marketing matrix.
Yeah, it's super inspiring. And it was just neat to see this technique that they've really mastered and enjoy doing. So. And then I also traveled to Ethiopia, and there I got to meet the Ililta group, which is a new group that we've been working with, I guess, a couple of seasons now.
Yeah.
But worked alongside Imnet, and we had some troubleshooting with some of the artillery beads. So just continuing to try to tweak designs and try to get something that they're able to actually source. So sometimes we might have an initial idea. And maybe it does work out for the first sample or they're able to put together, but then you run into issues down the line as they're trying to source large amounts. So a lot of my time spent in Ethiopia was kind of actually not so much focused on fall 16 development, but more troubleshooting for spring 16 production alongside Tamara. Tamara was there with me and she's the expert. I just kind of worked alongside and gave my 2 cents here and there.
And when you say expert, Tamara has a long history with Ethiopia in general and just knows the culture. And I think she's worked with those groups for a while.
Right. Well, she was actually part of starting in Toto.
Yep.
So, I mean, she's definitely an expert.
Yes.
Yeah. Very talented in that. And then my highlight of the trip, and definitely what I want to focus more on today, was my time in Uganda with Jaya and Daniel. And so that is one of those. So paper beads, I love paper beads. So I don't want you to hear that I don't love. But one of the challenges we have with paper beads is that is a material that once you see it a lot done in kind of that a certain way, you kind of get tired of it.
It's harder to innovate it.
Yeah. It's not as innovative. And so a big challenge that was given to me since I was traveling there was, Sarah, how can you push the envelope with paper beads and make it more modernized, make it for everybody?
No big deal. Just a small challenge.
Yeah. It's definitely one of those when it was asked of me, I was like, okay, we could do this, but how? And so I was really excited with how that all turned out. And I can tell you a little bit about behind these pieces that are coming out in the fall that I have kind of like this proud special connection with.
They're your babies.
They're my babies. They're my babies. And I actually was, I think, 4 months pregnant with my baby when I traveled there. So that was another layer that was going on in this trip. So where to begin? So first, to start off, like the way that process goes is Jalia, as y'all all know, is a talented designer. And so it was really fun to work alongside her. So there was a couple of days where we sat in Jalia's office, and she has this large desk, and we had samples all over the table, and we were looking at the development for that season, and we were just shooting ideas off, like, maybe we should do this color or this color, or, oh, this would make a great statement necklace, let's change that. And so we're just bouncing off ideas off each other, and then we kind of land on a fully thought out idea. I'm like, we need to make this happen. And and I was in heaven. Jalia would just sit back, and she would call Bukinya, who is the lead designer there. And then she would also call Caleb, who's the lead dyer. So he makes sure that the paper bead colors are what they're supposed to be. And he's just a guru. Daniel actually is the true guru of dyeing. But he has basically trained Caleb to be an expert. And
that's
so
great.
Has kind of passed that off onto him and empowered him in that way. And so Jalia would call them up and she would say, you know, Caleb, we need this, 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 and this colors with these side beads. And he would go make it happen. And then he would pass it off to Bikinya. And Bikinya would, with his group of designers, would be putting it together super quickly. So it was really fun to just dream up these ideas and see them within like a couple of hours come
That's
to
amazing.
Life and just be right in front of us. And I wish I could design all of the line like that.
That's like the AFS version of like 3D printing.
Exactly. No, it felt like, it's like, this must be what like the super high end couture designers are like, where they're just sharing their vision and then it comes to life before them.
That's amazing.
So that was like a little bit of a, special moment for me. And it was fun. Jalia was, you know, when a designer gets to design, and she was just really excited in her element. And so we got to be in our elements together. And so going deeper into that, one of the exciting – so what came out of that innovative is one of the things I'm excited about are tiny she calls them teeny tiny paper beads. Because so what's funny is when we're communicating, like, the different size beads for a style, so, like, the multicolor – what's the multicolor rope necklace?
Funky paper beads.
Funky paper bead necklace, yes. It's that's with pea-sized beads.
Because, like
PEA, like a P, you know, and so that's how we would communicate in a technical drawing tech pack that we want pea size beads in the style. So there's pea size, and that used to be the smallest size we could do. And then there became tiny beads, so they're just like a little bit tinier than the pea size beads.
It's like the ones, it's like that turquoise paper bead necklace with kind of the bronze.
Yeah, like the dainty paper necklaces will have those tiny. But now we have the teeny tiny paper beads, and that's what they're called. Like if I were to say, hey, I want this bracelet made with this size bead, I would say, here, make this bracelet with teeny tiny paper beads. So we just keep doing our making it go pushing the envelope further.
The next iteration
would be like microscopic beads or something. So, and two of the pieces that have those teeny tiny paper beads are the Morning Star necklace and the Azure wrap. And if you look, I knew that we hit our goal when we were doing like our buy meetings and selecting, and we would tell people that those were paper beads, and they're like, "What? Those are paper beads?"
I remember I had that reaction.
Yeah. But then when you look closer, you just see the intricate, I mean, the wrapping process to make that bead, and it's really amazing. So we were really excited about that innovation, and I think everybody should own those two pieces because they are such a source for excitement, not just for Noonday, but also for African Style and those guys. They were pretty proud of their accomplishment.
So how do they make those then? Does it differ than how they make the larger bead?
I actually believe that someone took a picture of it here in the office, but it's like they take a toothpick and they just cut a very, very narrow slit of paper, and they make it the same way, but it's just rolled very finely.
That's amazing. So it probably takes longer then.
It takes longer. So it's actually has a little more value to it than maybe some of the bigger paper beads.
A little more love.
Yes. Lots of love into that. And then also something that you'll see in both those pieces, as well as in our Midnight necklace, is adding in more of a metal findings that we might not have had in the past. So one of the things that Jaya and I did while we were there is we went to the marketplace in Kampala. And so I walked around, and I don't know if y'all have ever been to the marketplaces in Kampala, but they're pretty amazing. Like, it's just people everywhere, like arm to arm, and you're going into all these different stalls, and you just have everything there. And so we went to one stall that was just floor to ceiling, just packed with different findings, and picked out the different findings, meaning like gold connector beads or like clasp closures.
Yeah, just kind details. Of like a huge variety of metal.
Yeah.
Like, not knickknacks, but.
Yeah, like just details. Like those little details that you see. And so we found those. So some of the sparkle beads and stuff, those were exciting ads that we found in the marketplace together.
That's so cool. You were there for it.
Yeah, and even just jumping back to spring, they were producing spring when I was there. The sunny day.
Yes.
Sunny day necklace. It's a bring back of the happy day. We needed to find some fabric because the fabric that they were going to source, there wasn't enough. So we went to like all these, they're like giant shipping containers full of that fabric. Mm-hmm. And we went to like five different vendors trying to find the right colors, and they would pull them out. And Daniel and I would assess like, how would this look rolled up? And do we think it would be a good fit? So we also just kind of picked fabrics for that.
Sarah, that's got to be so special for you that you can, like, always look back at that necklace and be like, I was there when we made the final decision on that fabric. Like, I was in the market in Kampala with Jalia and Daniel.
And like, Daniel making his hardcore negotiations. Yeah, like, I'll give you this money if you'll hold the fabric and find me some more, and then I'll bring
the
more business
thing.
To you. Yeah, it was really neat to see Jalia and Daniel in their element. I mean, and they're an amazing couple. So get to see them just run their business and do those things was really exciting.
That's so neat.
And then my favorite part of the develop is I'm a total color geek. When I was little, I used to collect the little paint swatches that you get from like Home Depot and just collect them and just daydream about the different colors. I would just look at them. Like it was in like each color. Like I would, anyway. And I even when I was in, I didn't graduate from architecture school, but I did spend some time there. And there was one professor who she had a doctorates in color.
Oh,
Didn't know that was a thing. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
But she was so like had like this knowledge about color so much so she wouldn't let us use color. That whole semester, everything in my studio was black and white and shades of gray because we couldn't use color.
That was probably in your favor because it probably would never be good enough.
Right. That's why. She's like, you don't know how to use color.
Yeah.
You know. And then I also had another professor. She was an interior design professor. And she was so into color that Pantone, they are like the gurus of color. Uh-huh. I think I've used guru 100 times in this podcast.
It's fine.
But there's lots of experts out there, guys. And and so she ordered silk, because silk is like the material that can be dyed at the purest color, in burnt orange. and spent thousands of dollars in order to make a graduation gown.
Oh my gosh.
So these are kind of...
Because
she was a Longhorn. Uh-huh. And color was so important. She wanted it to be pure burnt orange, you know? And I remember them kind of talking about that and thinking, that is so cool. I don't know. It just kind of like affirmed, like, you can be a total color geek. And yeah. I'm definitely by far not there. But so that brings me back to AFS. So as you've probably noticed, like, our paper beads and our tagua are our big color drivers. That's how we like to view them. Like, if we need color in the line, like, mm-hmm. that's where we automatically go to because they do color so well. Their pieces are mainly about color.
Yeah.
And so one of the challenges that we had, not only with African Style, but also with other groups, is getting the right color. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that when I was there was creating a system where we actually use Pantones to communicate color. So uh-huh. instead of saying, hey, we want a sea green that we had also gotten like 2 years ago, try to match that, yeah. which is...
It's a tall order.
It's a tall order. Yeah. And especially if you look at how they're dyeing these, it's not a machine dyeing like you would probably have in China where you put in like the color number and they would mix the dye for you and then uh-huh. you dye it. Like guys like Caleb and Daniel mm-hmm. are going outside and they are hand mixing these colors and testing, and it's a bunch of trial and error and expertise that it just is mind-blowing. And they're trying to hit those colors that we need. So Pantones, basically, they create the official color number or, uh-huh. of that shade. So, like, you would say Pantone 153034. Mm-hmm. And that might be a specific shade of blue. But that shade of blue is the same shade of blue all over the world.
Right. And it's consistent.
Uh-huh. And mm-hmm. Pantone has, like those paint swatches, books filled with numbers. And this is the color with that number. And so they have the same Pantone book that we have here in-house. So we
can look it up.
Yeah. And so we had attempted to use the Pantone book in the past, but I think there was just a loss in communications, the importance of that. So I kind of had a Devil Wears Prada moment.
I've been thinking about that movie this whole time.
Yeah. With Meryl Streep, uh-huh. Anne Hathaway, yep. where there's that point in time where Anne Hathaway is wearing that cerulean blue sweater mm-hmm. and Meryl Streep is picking a belt and Anne Hathaway is like, they're the same. And uh-huh. Meryl Streep doesn't, they are not the same. And like everyone's like, oh, I can't believe yeah. she said those two and then similar looking belts were the same. But I get it.
Yeah. Like, and then Meryl Streep just like roasts her.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Of course you wouldn't understand.
Yeah. Because Oscar de la Renta did a line of that color in cerulean blue and that trickled down into uh-huh. your sweater. And believe it or not, like that same process happens here at Noonday. Like there is a point in time in the season where Joanne and I are looking at designers on the runways.
Yep.
And we're trying to see what are those colors and pick up those common colors that we're seeing over and over again. There's also a huge market in the fashion industry for color forecasting. So you have...
Which, that to me sounds like wizardry. Like, I don't even know where you would start with that.
Right, right. So I knew from school when they talked about Pantones, like Pantone, I want to say, and don't quote me on this, but I'm pretty sure that Pantone selects 5 years out.
I think I've heard it was that far out.
That yeah. what's going to be popular for that year. So right now, the Pantone's colors are like, it's the year of babies. So it's like a baby pink and a baby blue. Uh-huh. And so they selected that 5 years prior. And so they kind of influence what you're seeing on the runways. And so people pay lots of money, companies pay lots of money to have these color forecasts in their hands mm-hmm. so they could see what is going to be popular that year.
So they can be on trend.
Yeah. And so Joanne and I collect those colors and that's how we create our color palette for the season. And so the way that we collaborate with artisans is we share that palette with them. And so I sat with Daniel a long time and I explained this all to him and it was like, a light bulb went off and it was like, oh, wow, like these colors are important. So then
That's
so then explaining like we're not just throwing at you these random colors. Like, they really are important, and we really are wanting to make your product the strongest product possible. Yeah. So we want to get that it color in the design.
And you know what that also probably said to him is like, this is why your job, Daniel, you know, our dye master, is so important.
It is. Yeah. It's huge. It's huge. So a big portion of my time is I sat with Caleb and we created this system for recording and pulling up different colors. And so when I design now, I design in Pantones. And so then they go and they dye. And so it was really a huge win when we started designing the Spring 17 line, which will be coming, which we bought just last week, which is exciting. But that the color palettes came in paper beads in Pantones. And it was just
spot on.
Oh, it was spot on. It was so beautiful. I think Creative really wanted to take a bunch of pictures for Instagram and things because they were just so excited. It was just beautiful. So you had all these very perfectly colored paper beads for all the palettes for
That's
the seasons.
So cool.
And that was a huge win.
And I bet AFS, like, there's probably even more pride in what they do now because it's like they're – you've been able to share this insight that a lot of Western, a lot of the designers in the Western world have access to, and know that it's important. And now that, you know, Jalia, Daniel, Caleb Bukenya, their whole team understands the value of it and the importance.
Yes,
like there's just even more ability and skill and I guess understanding in the design process that they're going to be able to continue to innovate and carry that on throughout their business, like, just as a whole, not just with Noonday.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's built into it now.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And for that to be part of an artisan group, I think, I'm just assuming that that's pretty rare.
Yeah, I think so, to just have the time to actually sit down and explain what it is we're doing versus, like, here's our order, give it to us, you know? But just really taking the time to explain, like, you know, sometimes I do feel a little Meryl Streepy when I'm like, no, that's the wrong shade. Like, that's too dark. That's not the ocean blue I'm looking for. Or, and so I think just trying to share where you're coming from and asking in a respectful way. Like,
of course,
it's not like I'm no Meryl Streep. So you got to stay humble and, and also just approachable. So, yeah. Yeah. It was also really fun to just kind of just share with Jalia. Like, we Pinterest together.
Oh, that's so
fun. So we pulled
fun.
Up our phones, and, like, I was showing her, like, different ways that I like to pull things. And so it's just been fun to share just the designing and getting your ideas and what is it like to take things from the world and get ideas and get inspired and then translate that into a design.
Does she have a Pinterest account?
Or, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure she's about to get flooded with with follow requests from ambassadors, which I'm going to be in on that, too. I'm going to get requests.
Yeah. I'm, like, I'm like not 100% sure. I'm probably, like 90% sure we were looking at Pinterest. It had to be Pinterest.
That's so cool.
And all the different tears that she had saved for inspiration.
That's so neat. Well, and I love that example. It's kind of like I was talking with some friends after I came back from Guatemala, and I said, like, the coolest part of it for me was seeing that we're really not that different.
Yeah.
And
not at all.
I think sometimes you just need to be in person to see that similarity. Mm-hmm. And just, like, it was so normal for you and Jalia just to both pull up Pinterest.
Right.
Which is, like, something that is so common here that maybe people just wouldn't assume that someone in Uganda would pull up Pinterest.
Yeah.
You know. I love hearing about how we work with groups like AFS and some of the, like, the Kenya group, and seeing how collaborative design works in a specific example. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I feel like we've certainly, like, you can take things away from our conversation and seeing how collaborative design is so important. But I'd love for you to maybe talk about why Noonday has, you know, built our business, like, one of our pillars is collaborative design with the groups that we work with. And I'd love for you to talk about why that is specifically so important to us and why we've made that commitment.
Yeah, and I think there's probably a lot of facets on why it's important, why we have made it a pillar. One of the reasons I think it's really neat is that a lot of companies in the fashion world, like, they kind of have these one-sided conversations. with what they want. So it's like you just send your design ideas to a factory and they're like, okay, mm-hmm. make it work mm-hmm. and make it work at this price point. And if not, we'll just go on to the next factory mm-hmm. and we will make it work that way. Whereas here we are building relationships that are sustainable, that mm-hmm. are longer lasting. And so one of the important things about collaboration is that, you know, you might have a group where their technique is, let's just say, I'll just pick something completely obscure. Like, let's say bangles are completely downtrending, or the color gold is downtrending for some reason. 'Cause that's not going to happen. But in all this group it does is the color gold. Mm-hmm. So what do you do? You just say, oh, sorry, we're done.
See,
like,
ya.
Yeah, see ya. No, like, you know, that's mine and Joanna's job is to like, okay, what country are you in? Hey, it looks like y'all are also really good at doing jewelry with wood mm-hmm. in that country. Like, is there a connection that we can help you make? There are times where we've even helped invest in mm-hmm. that training or expanding that ability. Mm-hmm. And so we did it with Ililta, for yeah. example. Like, so that was a collaborative process where they were doing textiles, which are wonderful, but we weren't needing as many textiles as we were needing the beautiful artillery jewelry pieces. And so collaborating with them in order to get that going. And that was actually something that Tamara had a big hand in.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I think that's one of the reasons why collaborative design is so important. And that looks so many different ways because different groups have different needs. Mm-hmm. And then also I think another important part that I am proud to help produce is to make them the pieces relevant to the market today.
Yeah.
So, you know, Joanna and I spend a lot of time doing research, looking at the runways, looking at unique, fun silhouettes that maybe we haven't used before uh-huh. or that we feel are going to trend. And we design a year out, so it's almost like sometimes we feel like we need a crystal ball to try to figure out what's going to be on trend. So that's really fun, but also challenging. And so I think, you know, some other fair trade businesses, they don't have that component where they have in-house designers that are really working closely with the mm-hmm. different artisan businesses. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's something that Noonday offers that's really special. And you see that in the end result,
yeah,
in the end product.
I think you're totally right with that, that you see it.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the things that really sets us apart.
Yeah.
It shows up in the design.
Yeah.
Well, and I love what you're saying because it to me, it makes me think about there's this inherent longevity in collaborative design.
Yes.
Like, you're not going to collaborate, like at least we aren't, for one piece and then be like, okay, done. Because it's like, why would you invest money, time, resources, relationship into anything if you're not building something together?
Yeah.
And so I feel like collaborative design is just a whole nother layer. It's a whole nother like brick in the foundation you're building of this long-term partnership.
Yeah.
Like, we can't have long-term partnership without collaboration.
Yeah. Even just today, I scheduled a meeting with Tamara and Karen to sit down and talk about and focus on a group that we're going to start designing for fall 17 next year. And I really felt the need design-wise to really sit down and say, hey, what techniques do we need to push with them? What techniques do we need to ease back? Like, mm-hmm. how do we make their assortment fresh and new? Because we're kind of running out of design ideas here and we mm-hmm. think we need to do something new. So what can we do? And yeah. then I'm actually going to meet the one of the leaders of that group next week in New York, and I'm going to get to sit with him and kind of talk that through. So that's at the very beginnings of the collaborative design process
yeah.
and kind of brainstorming and troubleshooting and yeah.
Well, and that makes me think about how I love that you and the rest of the team are able to bring like these examples and this history of, okay, here's the work that we've done with this group and this group and this group, and here's where we've started together, and then here's where we are now. And, mm-hmm. you know, as you guys look at new groups to work with, you're able to point to all this other work you've done, and this new potential partner, whether it's this gentleman or anyone else in the future, can have confidence in the partnership that Noonday commits to. And they probably can dream and have vision of like, okay, if we partner with Noonday, where could that take us? Like, how would we fit into this equation? And I just feel like it's really inspiring and it's really exciting. And, you know, I guess related to that, I would love to hear, what are your hopes for the future as Noonday grows in collaboration and future partnerships?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, the more thought we could put into our designs and that collaborative process, I think the stronger the pieces. We have strong pieces, but like continue to have strong pieces mm-hmm. and with new groups and new. So I, as Noonday grows, I would like to bring more groups in.
Yeah.
And to be able to have more experiences like with African style, mm-hmm. where you just really get to spend time side by side, sharing our side, they're sharing their side, and learning each other mm-hmm. and working on that partnership. And so that's something that I really hope to continue to do. And I know Noonday hopes to continue to do, because that means more jobs.
Yeah,
and
for everyone.
Yeah, for everyone. More jobs and more beautiful product. And there are a couple of, I know there's one group in particular that we're hoping to possibly work with next year. And we'll just see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so great. Sarah, thank you so much for sharing your insight today. I know that I've known for a while collaborative design is something that's super important to you.
Yeah.
So I'm really glad that you got to have your platform today and tell our ambassadors.
Well, thank you. And I hope I gave it some sort of it's such a big thing, and it's such a big part of mine and Joanna's job that, so to try to capture it in a podcast, it feels like yeah. I'm thinking of all these other different examples, and this is how we do collaborative design. So it is something that definitely is a foundation of the design process and what we're doing every day.
Yeah.
And something that both Joanna and I are very passionate about.
And before we close, I would love for you to share if you have anything that you want the ambassadors to know.
Yeah, it's always fun to get to see you guys with the product, whether it's at a trunk show or at Shine, and see you just ooh and all over these techniques and things that maybe we have been developing for a long time. And I just want to encourage y'all with, y'all make these pieces look so good. The way you style them, like I love seeing on Instagram, your selfies with the pieces, y'all, and just the way you style. And I'm always learning more from you guys as you do so. Like, oh, that's so creative. I would have never thought to wear that way. Or, oh, I didn't appreciate that about that piece before, but now I mm-hmm. do. And then even at trunk shows, just the way that you appreciate not only the pieces, but the artisan groups, and you capture these stories mm-hmm. and you capture these experiences that we are sharing, and y'all marry them to the pieces, and you mm-hmm. share that with your customer. And there's nothing more exciting than to hear that short story told over and over again. Mm-hmm. So thank you for all your hard work in doing that.